Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hello, 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 and welcome back. I love my mission accepted listeners and viewers. You guys are sending in the most incredible comments. I was just sharing pre-show how, thank you, Israel. I don't know who picked us up and started sharing it in Israel, but apparently we're a hot ticket show in Israel right now. And of course, across the seas from where I am in Ireland, you guys are doing so much with the Mission Accepted podcast. And of course, everyone else in between those waters as well. Thank you so much. We appreciate your comments. And you know what, Susan, we love that you do yoga to us. We think that's a great idea. So take Susan's idea and start doing yoga and listen to some really cool stories. If you just landed on Mission Accepted because you're like, that's a frigging cool name. Well, let me tell you what happens here. We laugh at ourselves and we allow you to laugh with us, because I am talking to people that have taken on the mission, right? People that are self-funding and they're in media or they're entrepreneurs or they're entrepreneurs. And you're like, what's an entrepreneur? Well, if you haven't noticed, it's an entrepreneur that can't say no. So we have an incredible organization with us today that is full of women of gumption. And I'm actually looking at the beautiful faces. And if you're just listening because you're driving, you just keep looking and you can watch later. With Michelle and Pearl, who happen to both be in the project that you guys know that we are rocking out in the world right now. And that's that 262 women book and summits that we are doing, where people are doing the most incredible things, sharing who they are and what they do. And both these ladies have done exactly that. So this organization is called Unsilenced Voices. And I am going to let these ladies talk about what it is they do and honestly why they do it. So who wants to take the lead on talking about what's the mission of this party that you guys got going on? Michelle's like, me.
Okay, yeah, no, awesome. Thank you, Deb. Super excited to be on here and to speak to your audience and to spread even more awareness about Unsilenced Voices and what it is that we do. So I am a survivor of domestic violence. Back in 2012, I experienced a very physically, emotionally abusive relationship, and I was a part of that relationship for about 4 years. And it's interesting, Deb, that your podcast is called Mission Accepted, because in spite of what happened to me, I was given a mission by God to do something with my story. And in 2017, I was interviewing for nonprofit organizations and flew to Oakland. And I felt his presence within this organization, but didn't feel like I was meant to be there. So I was like, what do I do next? And so I ended up having my clam chowder and my Chardonnay on Pier 39. And this gentleman came up to me and we started talking, and I told him my story, and he said, you need to start a nonprofit organization. And that is when I said, now I will listen, because I've heard that before. However, I never actually jumped in and said yes. So in 2017, I founded Unsilenced Voices, which is a nonprofit that works to combat domestic violence, sexual abuse, and human trafficking. We began in 2017 in Ghana, expanded to Sierra Leone, expanded to Rwanda in 2020, expanded to the USA, where we were able to gift over $33,000 to US survivors of domestic violence, human trafficking, and sexual abuse. So our focus right now is on our Sponsor a Survivor program in Sierra Leone, where we have many, many girls who go through vocational training. We help them with materials, a monthly stipend, medical and counseling services, where we encourage them to break free from where they're kept trapped, which is in abuse. Typically, a lot of our young girls have even been trafficked to the country. So they learn a skill instead of being forced or being pressured to sell their body. And then they're able to now sell that skill. So that's only $3.33 a day. So if you're listening out there, sponsorasurvivor.org. Again, sponsorasurvivor.org. But yes, we do a lot and we are planning to come to the US here pretty soon. Very excited to have an actual facility where we can serve around the world.
Wow. So, I mean, that's when we hear in the world of media, you know, turn your mess into your message, right? And when you talk, I really appreciate that you said, when I listened this time, because look at, I think there is something, I mean, they say even in relationships and, you know, finding the business partnership that you're going to have, the relationship in your life that you're going to have, there is something very important about timing. And I think it's about where we are in our healing cycle, where we are, where our ears are willing to be open, because there's times where people can have the most incredible ideas for you, or, you know, you can be shared with many times, do this, do this, do this. And then there's one time where it just feels right. Where it just sits right. And you know what I love? You know, yours came from a stranger, right? How many times have we made that decision? And I talk about that as people that take on the mission. And if you're in the audience and you're listening to us and you're on that fence about taking the mission or revamping your mission or adding something to your mission, sometimes our back is against the wall and we don't know what to do. And then all of a sudden we go for a walk and we see a flyer. And it's so funny. I always wanted to do a marathon before I turned 40. At 39, I was, oh, I'm having a baby. So after 10 years of trying, I was like, okay, well, I guess that worked. So I was just walking down the street and I saw this word Ireland on a piece of paper on the ground. It was really dirty. I don't tend to pick that up, but I was like, what's that? It said marathon in Ireland. And anyways, it was the piece of paper that changed my whole world. Around, and I mean, obviously that was a long time ago. My son's 19, about the decision to do a marathon before I was 40. And sure enough, I did a marathon on December 12th. I turned 40 December 18th and my son turned 1 December 27th. And no, I didn't run it. And yes, I walked it. And yes, I finished. But it was just a flyer on the ground is my point. Sometimes the magic comes in an unusual packages, but then you took it on, right? So, first of all, thank you for that. And I loved that part of your story. So Pearl, I know that you're here and you're part of the organization and, you know, maybe share with, because many of us volunteer for things that are important to us for whatever reason, however we're drawn or we decide to work for an organization. So what was your draw into Unsilenced Voices and what's the mission like for you?
So I chased down Michelle. We love to share the story. So I met Jamie, who has worked with the organization as well, at an event here in Orlando, Florida. I was at a speaking competition. And I just loved the mission of, you know, helping. I'm a coach for women, a coach about finding your voice, stepping into who you are, stop putting everybody else first, right? And start doing something for yourself. And so when I heard Jamie's story, I was like, wow, this sounds, you know, this is so amazing. And I have two boys. I always wanted to do something for women. And so when I heard Jamie's story and I heard about Michelle, there's just something about the whole mission and reaching, especially like reaching across the country at that time and reaching out to young girls. We have to stretch our arms out to circle us all in, I believe, in order for us to really grow as a country, as you know, as a world. And so when Michelle was doing what she's doing, I was like, I want to get to know her. So I think it was a year ago this past December, we're at a Bill Walsh event. And I was like, I saw her sitting and I was at a table and I was like, I remember like, I have got to meet you. I know we're busy, but we need to talk. And I knew she was coming to Tampa, Florida. I was like, or at least to Orlando at the time, I was like, we got to get together. We got to talk. And the rest is history. I just love what she's doing. Everything, she's now here in Tampa with me. So we get together probably at least once a week. She was just here Sunday for Father's Day with us. And so, you know, I just love the mission and taking young girls and showing them that there's more to us than having to sell our bodies. There are people out there that want to lift us up. You know, I grew up a daddy's girl and I loved everything about that my dad did until later on in life, some of his stuff came out that I didn't like. So I wanted to find a way to show my boys that women are important in this world and what can we do? And it doesn't have to be in our backyard. You know, I do so much in my backyard. I'm so connected. Michelle will tell you, I've got many connections here in my community that I love to help, but to be able to reach out and do something. And, you know, Sponsor Survivor is like Michelle said, $3.33 a day. It costs less than the Starbucks to sponsor a survivor. And it's why not? Like, why not? Why not make an impact? Because these girls, they are that we're sponsoring, what eventually they're going to pay it for it. If we don't help them today, they may be our future presidents. They may be our future entrepreneurs that I might want something from their talent. And here's Michelle taking and stepping in and helping them create a talent for themselves and to do something with the talent. So it's like, why not?
Awesome. So you guys tell us some of the, so I know Michelle, me and you have shared earlier about the different myths around domestic violence. I know for me, I'm also a survivor. I came from a different place. A lot of times people think, oh, if there's violence in the home, you'll automatically go into a relationship. I know that you had shared that that was not your experience, right? But there's some myths around domestic violence. What are those and how can we kind of, you know, I think it's important for us to know because we just make assumptions.
Yeah, I'll jump in here. Domestic violence is not just against women. It's against men, women, LGBTQIA, depending on what you identify with these days. But it is not discriminatory. It can happen to anybody. It does not happen to just impoverished people. It also happens to very wealthy individuals. And whether you are black, white, brown, purple, or green, right? So that is the first thing to remember. Now, Deb, you're right. I grew up in a home that there was no violence. There was no physical, emotional violence. My daddy never really raised his voice, or my parents definitely didn't have any physical altercations. However, I ended up in a very abusive relationship. Well, how did that happen? I didn't know what I was going through. I had no idea. When you don't know, you don't know, right? So when that first sign of physical violence happened in that relationship where he'd pushed me so hard against the wall that my head went through it, I didn't understand that this was domestic violence. He had promised that he wouldn't do it again. He apologized for what he did. Okay, great, let's move forward. And of course it progressively got worse. And the words that he had said to me had longer lasting implications than that of even the physical violence. So the manipulation, the self-doubt, the gaslighting that happened made me think it was my fault, that I was the problem, that I was triggering him. So it does happen across all spectrums. Now, I was doing an event in Dallas last year, and at this event, I learned 40 to 60% of children who experience domestic violence in the home will either turn out to be abusers or abused. 40 to 60%. Now, this is really important to remember. So if you are out there and you are listening, whether you are a man or a woman, if you have children and you are staying in this relationship because you want them to have two parent households, I want to encourage you to get out now because the statistics are startling. What is going to happen to your kids? So that's some. Pearl, I'm sure that you've got some other ones that you might want to jump in and talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up, Deb, in a house where if my parents argued, they just wouldn't talk. So I learned that that was how to communicate. So at a young, I mean, I moved out of my house at 17. You know, I wanted to be out. I was working full time and didn't want to have roles, right? So at 17, I moved out. But every time I'd go into a relationship, that's how I thought communication was, right? That was the emotional damage, emotional abuse that I saw with my mom, with my dad. You literally walked in eggshells. All of a sudden you come home, everybody was happy. That's what I thought life was, right? So like to what Michelle said, when I met my husband, who we've been together almost 40 years now, when I first met him, if I got mad at him, I would shut down and not talk because that's what I thought I was supposed to do. I didn't think I had a voice. I didn't think my voice mattered. And so it took Chuck like probably a good 6 months, like having his own conversations for me. I finally one day went and go, No, I wouldn't have said that to you. I finally realized, and he said, I can't figure out what's wrong and you're upset about if you don't tell me, right? So it could be as simple as that, like growing up watching your parents argue and not and feeling you don't have a voice. And then, you know, fast forward, here we are almost 40 years later. I have an uncle who unfortunately has shown his, I never saw this inside of him, showed his narcissist side to him and how he was behaving. And I, you know, reiterate to my mom that, look, when I was out dating, I didn't want anybody like my dad and I didn't marry anybody like my dad. And I will not let anybody speak to me in this tone. So I learned my boundaries and what was acceptable. But Michelle's right. When we grew up in an environment that we know, and like Michelle said, I said to my mother too, I said, why did you stay with dad all those years? Because if it was for us, it didn't do anything for me. It did nothing for me. You know, I don't have a relationship with my dad today because of some other things that he's done. But like Michelle said, if that's the reason why you're staying, really reach out for help, because, you know, I don't want to see that cycle continue. And that's another reason why I'm working with Michelle. I mean, like, even with my boys, one of the things I taught my boys is how to be respectful for women. And if I saw them out of line, I yanked them right back in. Like, no, that's not acceptable, you know? And so that's another reason why that I believe in what Michelle's doing. And I think we have to get that message out, especially today in social media. There's so much stuff on social media. We think and see, and we believe it has to be that way. And it's not true. Everybody's hiding behind social media.
And some of the red flags consist of moving the relationship too fast, too quickly, isolation, the perpetrator, the narcissistic, taking control over everything. So I remember he didn't want me to work. Paul, we'll call my abuser. He didn't want me to have a job. He wanted to take care of me. He wanted to, in a sense, control my friends, control my association. So if you are in the very beginning stages of possibly an abusive relationship, look for some of those red flags.
Thank you so much to add that piece on, because it's important. I think it's hard to define, right? I think when you're in situations, it's hard to define. And I know in my situation, honestly, I'm not going to say perfect because nothing is. Nothing showed itself till 2 years in the relationship. I mean, wow, right? So sometimes it's just that surprise. You don't see it coming. And all of a sudden you're like, what's this about? And it seems situational, but actually it's been, you know, a current all through, like what you said, some of the verbiage or some of the disassociation, right? So look, you guys are in, you know, this is pretty intense work. Right? We all have our stuff. I don't care how evolved you are. I'm pretty evolved. I've gone through a few therapists in my day. You know what I mean? Like we're all evolved and we're evolving. I remember in my younger days, I had this inspiration that I was going to give back and I was going to go work for an organization. It's called WAVA, Women Against Violence Against Women. It's a really cool organization. And I'm like, they're like, oh, we need people to work the crisis line. I'm like, okay, I'll take that training. Right? And I took that training. And the crisis line day came and I ended up back in therapy. It was obviously just too soon for me. There's a lot about triggering. We get triggered. It's why we're drawn to something or not drawn. And I was talking about that timing later. So what do you ladies do for yourselves? Because I imagine there must be stories that are difficult. There must be times where you come home and it's hard to shake off your day, or something really got into your heart in a way that, you know, is still sitting with you. How do you, it's commendable. How do you take care of yourselves while you're taking care of others on this scale, right? On this scale.
Yeah, self-care is not selfish, right? And that is super important. I do a lot of business coaching as well, business and personal development coaching. I deal with a lot of individuals who have experienced trauma, not just with Unsilenced Voices, but Michelle Jewsbury speaks as well. And I tell my story on stages. I'm an international speaker and I do this for a reason, right? To inspire hope, to inspire change, to help other individuals turn their stories into something even more. Well, Deb, you are right. It is hard work. And sometimes you just feel heavy. You feel like you need a vacation. You feel like something needs to alter or shift. Well, I learned very early on that in order to really overcome the trauma, I had to feel through the pain. I teach a lot, you have to feel in order to heal. That means that you actually have to go back to what happened to you do writing therapy, non-traditional types of therapies like movements or play therapy. Counseling is extremely important. I'm a huge advocate for counseling and therapy, but you have to be able to express yourself. Now, when it comes to us working in this industry, we also need to express ourselves. So I have a counselor and a therapist that I still talk to here and there, especially if I've been triggered. You are right, you know. I used to sit in a vehicle with Paul, and that's where he would lash out at me all the time. I remember him punching me against a window in the car. And so I've always been apprehensive with other men in the car. So I've learned to overcome that, but that is just one example of a triggering moment. I personally love to go hiking. Florida doesn't have any hills, so I have learned biking now instead. So I just bought a bicycle and I go biking and I talk to God. I'm very, very spiritual. I believe that Jesus is really instructing me and guiding me where I'm supposed to go. And I've joined a Bible study. And in this Bible study, I learned from the instructor that it's not about hitting home runs all the time. It's about running home. So it's not that we always have to hit these big home runs and we have to keep going and going and going and pushing ourselves to the point where we just want to crumble. It's about running home, just getting to first base and allowing God to continue the rest. I also love scuba diving. I go out to the beach a lot. So I make sure to give myself that, those moments where I can just rest. And I know Pearl, she recently lost her son, and she is still the happiest woman that I know. So Pearl, do you want to talk about what you do?
Yeah. Thanks, Michelle. Yeah. I totally agree with everything you said. You know, as a coach for women, you know, my business is Women Successful Living, and that's who I work with women on. Really, my story was I put everybody first. That's what I thought I was supposed to do, right? I didn't know that I could go after my goals and still take care of my kids and do my business, right? And so I really learned in 2015, I took a 6-week identity and destiny course. At the end of the 6 weeks, we had to give our I am statement. And I was still saying, I'm a wife and I'm a mom. And I had a friend go, and don't you have another son? Because I was so fixated on making sure my oldest, who was born of my heart, got all his dreams he wanted. And I took advantage of my younger son, was like me, independent, could just do whatever he needs to do, and he'd get it done, right? And so I went on this journey to figure out who I was. And I realized that I was somebody who was passionate about teaching others the importance of our goals and our visions. Because like Michelle said, I believe that, you know, we come in this world, God's put a talent in us. And if we don't do something with it, we're cheating ourselves. But really, if Michelle wasn't sitting here and doing what she's doing, Deb, you're doing what you're doing, and all the support that we have here with us, we wouldn't be sitting here today and pouring out to other women and paying it forward. So in my life, my kids started to see me do that. I had a sit down with my kids. They were, you know, going off to college and a sophomore in high school. And I said, listen, for the longest time, I put you guys first, and it's time I do something for myself. So every night at 8 o'clock, they would see me go in my room. I'm like, unless somebody's dying and has to go to the emergency room, don't call me. Right. So I started that path of doing that. And I've had some stuff come up. I mean, I've had, you know, I've separated from my dad because he turned racist against my son. I had a really close friend who some things happened ethically that didn't line up with me that I severed that relationship with. And my oldest son, Matthew, as Michelle said, we lost him last July at 25 years old in a tragic accident. But one thing he always would say to me, he'd say, how do you do that, Mom? Like, I've had so much crap. You know, he's overcome alcoholism. He's, you know, being adopted and not, you know, that all that stuff that came with it. How do you do that, Mom? Like, really? And I was like, if I don't get up, and people call it pouring your cup, whatever you want to call it, but if you don't get up and put your cape on first and wrap it tight enough that you can hug yourself, but then have that extra that comes in and says, let me take care of those that I love and what I want to do, then you're really not taking care of yourself. And so in my world, I believed that, you know, the day Matt passed, I mean, it's all the thing that came with it, from finding out in the news and not having anybody knock at my door, all that stuff that came with that, my friends and family would have been like, it's okay if Pearl sat in the bedroom all day long and cried and didn't come out the rest of the world, right? But I believe if I lived that life when he was here, and I'm the example for my younger son, Nate, why would I do that any differently? Because I've lost a child. If nothing else, I would not be honoring what he saw me do in his memory. So really, that's my passion, is to, you know, come alongside Michelle and teach and share and do whatever we can to support. I mean, like Michelle said, $3.33 a day. I'm going to keep drilling that into you. We can support these girls to understand that they are important and that you are important. If you're listening to us, you are important. You matter. And stop putting yourself on the shelf and stop letting everybody else tell you you're not worthy, because you are so worth it. And I want to learn your talent from you.
And we're going to definitely be putting that link in the show notes. So there's something really interesting that showed up for me. You were talking about all the things that you do for your own self. I love grabbing the cape and so that I can hug you. That's fantastic, Pearl, because I think there's a lot of us that wear capes and sometimes, you know, they gets a little loose. So there's too many people under our cape. We're like, not sure this one's even going to fit and tie around, but it reminded me. So I owned a private health studio, honestly, 27 years. And from the very get-go, there was always a treatment that I would gift. That's what we do. You know, Michelle, you understand tithing and servant leadership clearly. So anyways, long story short, I was working with this woman who had created this association here where I live in Vancouver for women recovering from being escorts. And you're right, Michelle, it doesn't matter what economic background you come from or how much money you have. This was not necessarily women that didn't have money. And part of what I was supporting in that organization was part of their healing. Of course, we did massage and chakra balancing, and we did, you know, healing and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I use massage. I use journaling. When you talk about paper, I use meditation, chanting. I use music. I mean, you guys know my addiction to music. I use music for healing all the time. But it was really interesting. And I just want to say this. I don't know why, because someone's listening and someone needs to hear it. But, you know, having to be, to relearn, when you talk about being triggered in the car, I remembered certain things. There was a word like Hawaii. I couldn't even say the word Hawaii for a long time. I couldn't, you know, eat certain food. And there's all sorts of things that trigger that you have to eventually work through, or, you know, eventually does get worked through. But this one woman in particular was coming. And for her, because it was touch factored, because the abuse was touch factored, and on top of it, she was a professional escort. Now, some of these women had no intention of leaving being an escort. They just were in trauma. And it wasn't my job to decide whether they stay or left. And I really want to make that clear, because if someone's in the middle and they're not ready to leave, doesn't mean they can reach out. Reach out even if you don't want to go yet. Reach out even if you just need a break. Reach out. There's no shame in going back. There's no shame in coming out after you've gone back 20 times, 30 times, 40 times. I remember working with this woman, and she's like, I really want to be able to be massaged. And I really want to understand what safe touch feels like. And we had to start her off. And I bet you, for her first 20 massages, fully dressed. I mean, fully dressed. And so it's okay to start wherever you are, like being massaged on an arm under three pieces of clothing and a sheet and a towel and a blanket, right? Like, we start where we are. And she was trying to have her body get comfortable and not go into panic around being touched and what the difference was, right? I mean, it's pretty incredible. I don't know. I just decided to share that story because it came into my consciousness, and that's probably a story of 20 years ago. But okay, look, so Unsilenced Voices is an organization that people can tap into, and we're obviously going to put the notes and where people can do that. Here's what I love to do on the show, particularly people like all of us that are here, that have dreams and desires, both professionally and personally. And I think what we say about comes about. I mean, Pearl, you know that. You just talked about encouraging people to have their value. And we know that we have to treat ourselves valuable. We have to say we're valuable. And Michelle, you do that from, you know, the loudest stages that you can, right? So let's do something for ourselves here. So if there is something that you want for the business, for Unsilenced Voices, right? Like, if you had one wish that you would want to go out there that people could think about, whether they hear this podcast now or 10 years from now, what would be the message? And then while you're sharing that, something personal, nothing to do with business, something about you. Like, if there's, you know, do you want to fly a plane upside down? Do you want to go spend a summer in Ireland making perfume? I'm obviously talking about some of mine. So, you know, what is it that you can put out there in the universe that someone's going to pick up so that we can gift back to you for the work that you're doing out there? Yes, everybody $3.33. We know that's an easy thing, but what's something personal that we put out to the ethers that could, you guys could be supported with? And then what's something that you'd really like to see for the organization? Michelle, let's start with you.
We have big dreams. Unsilenced Voices, our goal is to serve hundreds of countries around the globe. And in order to do that, it requires sponsors, not sponsor a survivor, but sponsors sponsoring us. Deb, you touched upon this really well. Tithing is very important. Choose an organization or choose a facility or a church where you tithe regularly, where you're able to give back, and use that as a catalyst for what you can do to change injustices around the world. So yes, I hate to be always asking for money, but no organization can exist without funding. So we're actually looking for sponsors. So whether it is a big Nike company or Amazon coming in and actually sponsoring, in order for us to grow, we have to have funding so that we can still continue to serve. Now, I'm going to shift drastically right now because you said, let's talk about something fun, right? So yes, yeah. We need funding. If you're in the US, if you text UV, U as in unsilenced, V as in Victor, to 26786, again, UV to 26786, you can get more information. I'm sure it'll be in the notes, but get more information about what we do in Unsilenced Voices. Now, I always end a podcast with a saying that is really kind of funny, right, and humorous. So there's a movie out there called Finding Nemo. Anybody heard of it, right? So Finding Nemo is this lovely movie where there's fish and there's obstacles and, you know, Nemo gets lost and Dad has to find him. But there's this one fish, her name is Dory, and she swims around and she is, I'm a blonde woman, so I can say this. She's like a blonde airhead, right? She's like swimming around and getting lost everywhere. But the one thing that she continues to sing to herself is just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. So if you're out there, if you're experiencing abuse, if something has happened to you and you just feel lost, I want you to just keep swimming. And then that leads me to what I love to do is scuba dive and just keep swimming under that water. So Deb, thank you so much.
Awesome. And Pearl?
Wow. I got to follow that, Michelle.
Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming.
I'm not a good swimmer, as Michelle has heard the story before, but I think for me, if I had to put out in the universe, I do these retreats every year. This every year in September, we have these amazing pajama retreats. You show up, there's no makeup on. You meet your PJ sister right where she's at, and you stay in your pajamas all week long. You let the girls hang loose, and we just get some really cool things happen. So my retreats, we're in 2023 right now. Our first one ever sold out at 25. So my big dream is to, I have a funny story where I met some people from the Ringling Brothers Smiling Belly Circus when I was in high school. We got to go on the train and hang out and all this fun stuff. And I learned they have an A and B circus. So the A covers part of the states and then the B covers the other part. Then they switch off. So I would love to have an A and B retreat, have an East Coast, West Coast retreat. So that's my big goal, is to have 25 women twice a year that are at a retreat in their PJs and just leave with some great dreams that they have ready to start pursuing. That's my out there in the world that I want. And of course, we could always use a big corporate sponsor for the retreats too. That would be a bonus. But something fun. This is so hard. A big dream I'm going to manifest this is I am scared to death of heights. I'm afraid to say this in front of Michelle because she lives too close to me. I'm afraid she's going to cry. But I have always wanted to go zip lining. And a couple of years ago, we were in the mountains and we were going to go zip lining, but we didn't happen. So the year before that, we were at the beach and I was like, oh, I zip line. I went from one way. It was like over a parking lot. And they're like, Pearl, that wasn't very high. That doesn't count. I'm like, hey, I was in the air. But I think I have to do better than that. So if I was put out in the world, I will zip line over something high. That's no water, please. No.
Pearl, you know I'm actually going to come to you and make you go zip line with me next.
I told you, I was afraid to say it.
Okay, look at Pearl. Have you ever wanted to come to Vancouver?
Yes.
Okay, so first of all, I've got a studio here where we can do one of your retreats because I'm West Coast, but an hour and a half from my home is this gorgeous mountain called Whistler. Have you ever heard of Whistler?
I have,
yeah. It's one of the top ski mountains in the world. And by the way, my kid's name's Ocean. I'm with you, Michelle, on the water thing. I don't scuba, I just swim. But in Whistler, there is, so you go off the mountain and you zip, and then you go higher up the mountain, and then you zip this way, and you go higher up the mountain, and you zip. It is the ultimate. And then if you want to, on the very final peak, when you're zipping, you can actually drop. Like, ooh, you can actually go backwards, and you can do it. I've done it, and it's super easy, and they're all there. And so there you go. Someone get this woman a ticket to Vancouver, and if you get to Vancouver, we'll take her zipping all the way up.
I don't think I'll drop, though.
You want to go to the top, right? You want to go to the top of the mountain?
I want to go to the top. I don't know if I'll drop.
Okay, so Pearl's never going to call me again. She just took my number out of her book. Anyways, you guys, I think what you can see is that you can see that there can be a lot of fun in healing and that there's a lot of beauty on the other side. And there's some incredible people in the world doing some incredible things and that we're all doing our very best and that we're all taking one step forward and that wherever you are, and if you want to create, if you've got a calling, if you are waiting for that person to come into you while you're drinking your champagne or wine and eating cheesecake or whatever Michelle was doing in that cafe, right? Chardonnay she was having. And if this is your Chardonnay moment and you want to even start a nonprofit, then you need to connect with Michelle, and she's full of support in that arena. And if this is a calling to you, and if it's something that you think that you could do, or you think that you might do, no one's saying it's 3:33 till the end of your days. It could be something that you just do for a little bit while you have a little extra. It's all about just, like she said, just keep swimming one step forward. And at the very least, if you heard anything, it's about taking care of yourself. And if you are going to take on the mission and you're going to take on your mission, you need to take care of yourself. You need to include others in taking care of yourself. So obviously for me and my audience, ladies, thank you so much for what you do with Unsilenced Voices, and so much for what you do just being who you are in the world. It is really, truly, and it sounds so hallmark to say one person makes a difference, one step forward and all of it. But really, that's how we got to where we got to. Right? That's where we got to, where we got to. And just letting people know that there's choices and just letting people know that there's people that are willing to help them with no expectation, right? No expectation. So thank you for being on Mission Accepted. And look, you guys know that we've got this incredible party going on. It is 262 women in a book called Women, 262 Women, Entrepreneurs, Entrepreneurs, Creatives and Media, Rock Legacy, right? Rock Legacy and Tell All. And it is going to be a 5-year book tour. We're so excited. If you want us to come and share the book at your event and speak on this experience of working with all of these women, there's so many of us in the organization, in the book, in the summits that are willing to come along and speak. We are a plane, train, drive, fly, paddle, I don't know, surf to other continents to come and share the word. It is a free access. And that was incredibly important to this project. It is a free access. If you are listening and you want to tap into inspiration and hear women like Michelle and Pearl, it costs you nothing. It costs you nothing to come fill your bucket. You get to take off Pearl's cape and you get to leave it on the bathroom floor in the morning and you get to come hang out with us and just shut the door like she does and grab a half an hour. Grab an hour or spend all 10 hours with us on the 8th day of the month, every single month for you. So thank you so much. If you want to sit where these ladies are sitting, you know what to do. It's really, it's so hard. It's dev@devdrummond.com. I mean, you know, it's super easy. If you want to be on the podcast, come let us know. But until we see you again next week, be well. And you guys, be groovy. Thanks, ladies.
Bye.